listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my peers, putting suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. Boom.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are in the house on a Sunday, a huge Sunday, actually.
Yes.
Like, maybe over the Super Bowl. Maybe over the Super Bowl, y'all. It's the finale of Game of Thrones tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which means we have to look forward to another 42 weeks of depression until it comes back, you know. But it is a big night. And also is the BET Awards, which, for people that know me and Karen, we stand for the BET Awards.
Right.
But I got to choose tonight.
Right. That was so irritating. I seen people talking about that across social media, and I seen Jamie talking to people about that. But I'm on your side, sweetie. It's like, you could have picked another weekend. It's like, why would you go up against, like, basically the one of the number one rated shows of all times, quote unquote, almost.
Yeah.
For this award, and you're doing a Prince tribute, which everybody wants to see because y'all came out clapping y'all hands talking about we got you after that Madonna. So a lot of people are gonna too. But the thing is, like, I guess for me, it's tough because I'm not trying to funny. I'm gonna watch Game of Thrones.
I know.
Me too.
So it's like you're literally taking probably hundreds of thousands of viewers away that's gonna come back. But you probably got an hour worth of show that most people are gonna miss.
Don't take my black card, y'all. But I'm gonna miss I'm definitely missing an hour of BET tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I watched the warm up.
I'll make Preach Away today, but
I am not gonna apologize. I'll be watching Game of Thrones, and I mean, I think that BET, it'll be interesting to see what the ratings are if they get more of their ratings from the DVR watches than the live show, because there's going to be a lot of people live tweeting. I mean, this is the season finale.
Yes.
So that, and Twitter is a place for so many spoilers, and if it's a really controversial episode tonight, people are going to be talking about it for a long time, and you might stumble onto those spoilers. So yeah, that's why I want to see it live. I don't want to have anything ruined.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, that is true. You'll be talking about BET, and next thing you know, you realize that Khaleesi done chopped off the head of her dragon. You'll be like, well, I didn't know that. You're like, well, she'd have been watching.
Let me tell you guys how much Karen loves Jamie. We didn't even get to introduce her. That was just...
my bad.
Karen just hopped on and was like, listen, girl, let's talk about things.
Oh, my bad. I'm like, oh, look, I picked up the phone. Let's have a conversation. Y'all,
girl.
You should have recognized the voice.
Well, for those who, you know, haven't heard, you know, who I don't know who you are, but that listen to us and don't listen to Black Girl Nerds, or don't follow her on Twitter, which, I mean, who doesn't follow Jamie on Twitter?
Right.
At Black Girl Nerds, or you gonna go to her website, blackgirlnerds.com, or you're not out here rocking their gear.
Them t-shirts is fly. I messed around and it went down a timeline. I clicked. I said, gonna have to get them coins right.
Mm-hmm. blackgirlnerds.com/t-shirts. It's Jamie, guys. You also, I feel like we've been talking about Jamie all the time on here. We kind of rotate in the same like circles of nerddom and blackness via social media and whatnot. When we had hashtag gate, it felt like every
is
down
that the official name for it now, hashtag gate.
I couldn't think of a better name.
That's what we call it.
You know, I'm sure there's been 27 hashtag gates that I don't even know about, but that's the only thing I could call it. But I feel like I was coming on here trying to do my best to not speak for Jamie, but to be like, hey, well, this is, you know, this is where you can go to hear Jamie's point of view on all this stuff. But it's Jamie Broadnax from Black Girl Nerds. What's going on, Jamie?
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. I love you guys. You guys are so awesome, and I really appreciate it. And it just goes to show how much I love you, the fact that I've gotten up this early to be on your show this morning.
Yeah, it's funny. I send people times and I tell them like, oh, you know, if you want to adjust, we can do it. But life is so weird because like, if you tell somebody like, we can do this at 10, most people will just be like, yeah, 10. But if they would have been like if you would have hit me back and said, well, let's do it at 1, I would have been like, oh, cool, I can sleep 3 more hours.
right,
without even thinking about it. But we had to come up with terms, because it was just like, if not, then we'll just be like, so when you want to do the show today sometime? Should we get out of bed, or should we just but we do appreciate you making it, because 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. is early, and I know I was up late last night doing absolutely nothing but watching Empire repeat. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm 14 episodes behind now. I was doing nothing last night. It was like 4 a.m and I was like, I have to be sharp in the morning, so let me go to bed. But yeah, we're really excited that you made it. First of all, what's going on over at Black Girl Nerds right now?
Well, next month we will be over at San Diego Comic Con, so that's extremely exciting, and it's our first year coming along as press, so huge opportunity there, and we're really happy to be able to cover all of the latest happenings. We're also going to have a meetup that's going to be scheduled that Friday, the week of the convention, so definitely if you're going to be in San Diego attending the con, come out and join us. It should be a lot of fun. So yeah, that's the big thing that's happening next month for us. And then everything else is still the same. Social media stuff, me getting into it with trolls on Twitter. the podcast, which we just dropped an episode yesterday. And then of course all of the editorials. We have a new one that just popped up about the Ray Donovan show. So yeah, just me really running the online community as best that I can, and tackling that with a 9-to-5, which is so not easy. But yes. I love this community so much that it's worth the blood, sweat, and tears.
Well, yeah. Matter of fact, so we can do this uninterrupted, let me just do all the upfront real quick. So the official weapon of the show is
a taser.
The unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. Today marks day 557 and Bobby Shmurda has been locked up in jail on $2 million bail without his having his bail or his charges reduced. We are sponsored today, double sponsored. We're brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, who has a album. It's actually the second audio play album that Karen and I have done. It's called Sunspot mm-hmm. and Other Ratchetness. And we have friends of the show on there. Of course, Nick Jew from What's the Tea podcast. We have, mm-hmm. You know, John Fouts, just everybody, people that have been on the show, and actors and stuff. And we go in there and we, be silly on the microphone and have fun playing characters. And I think if you enjoy this show, you'll enjoy that. You can find Sunspot and Other Ratchetness on iTunes and Amazon. And then also we're brought to you by Bevel. That's right. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, which is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game today and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com and use code TBGWT, and you can get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right, now that's done. Let's get back to this talking. So, one of the things you brought up was the arguing with trolls.
Mm-hmm.
How? Because one,
an art form for me now.
Yeah. Well, one thing is, I actually love when people kind of like clap back, and I never feel like you go like crazy or anything on people, mm-hmm. but you know, just like you should say things back. Like I don't know how. I think people forget that people are human,
right?
Behind mm-hmm. these names, and I think, especially having the name Black Girl Nerds. Mm-hmm. People see you like as a brand and not a human being anymore. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's like you become like the focal point of criticism for certain things that I'm sure you never really asked for. And especially having a jobby job, like it's not like this, you know, this is what I do all day. I walk outside and I just mush people in the face and be like, huh, shot first, you know,
I'm
like
a Black nerd, everybody gonna know.
Right. So like what is the experience like? Like what kind of things do people like kind of target you for when it comes to trolling and stuff?
Well, definitely the nerdsplaining and the gatekeeping is the biggest things. So whenever I'm talking about a comic book character or a movie or TV show, I'm always questioned on if I know the history of this character. Do I know the history of the writers and the team on X-Men going back decades and decades? I get an interrogation. Wow. So that's the biggest thing that I've noticed. For example, the other day, this guy checked me on Cyborg and was explaining to me Ray Fisher's origin. And I guess he's not familiar with Black Girl Nerds. Like, I've interviewed David Walker, who's writing the comic right now. I have written reviews on Cyborg. We've done videos about Cyborg. So the fact that I am being explained the origin story of a character that we've been talking about on the site and the online community for years now, it's just demonstrative of the fact that there are a lot of people out there, mostly men, who assume that women just don't know enough or anything about comics or any other part of nerd fandom.
You know what's wild is that I never get questioned on those things, and I don't know any of that shit. So I don't even bother looking it up, which sometimes I feel bad about, because when I like certain, I'm getting better about it, I put it that way. Like, when I like certain content, I should be like, okay, so Kelly Sue McCormick wrote that, let me go find another thing she wrote so I can support that as well. You know, I'm getting to that level, but in general, I don't know who wrote what.
Okay, maybe this is just me, who I just recently came, quote unquote, into my nerddom, because for a very long time, Jamie, Roger used to tell me I was a nerd, and I just rejected the whole concept, because when I thought about nerd, I thought about, like Roger said, the people that every time you bring something up, you got to be fucking challenged on. I was like, look, I don't know that shit like that, and so I don't want to be constantly bothered and constantly questioned about certain things. But my thing, at the end of the day, who gives a fuck? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not, who cares? Like Roger says, him and his other dudes that I might even know more than they do, it's dudes that say wrong and false information about comic book characters, don't know jack shit, but because you got a penis, you feel like you have the right to question me when I actually might know more about this shit than you do, but you just assume because I have vagina lips that I'm ignorant because I have breasts, all I do is cook in the goddamn kitchen all day, and I don't pay shit attention outside of having children and being a mom and shit like that, you know, because for some reason women quote unquote can't be nothing but a mom and a mother and a wife, like that's what your life goal is. And to me, it's one of the things where I say, who cares? Like, if you don't question a man, why would you question me?
Yeah,
because misogyny
basically.
I mean, that is something that's very pervasive, especially in the nerd and geek communities, is there's just a whole bunch of fanboys out there that don't like that women are entering into this space, don't like the fact that we are creating content in this space, and that we are social influencers now, and that we're writing our own comics and we're artists and illustrators. So they feel like something now is being taken away from them because they predominantly own this culture, and they still do. But the fact that women and people of color are creating spaces within it seems to be an infringement upon them. And it's sad, because it really, I think the more the merrier. There will be more opportunities to see comic book movies like Black Panther and Cyborg and hopefully some black women characters like Missy Knight and Monica Rambeau. So I see that it's an opportunity to see more diverse content, not anything that's going to be taken away from you. But you know, at the end of the day, for a lot of these guys, they just feel like, well, you're a girl, I'm a guy, I know more than you, so I'm going to explain something that really doesn't need to be explained.
Right.
Just for the sake of proving that I am more knowledgeable than you.
Yeah, and I think for me, the even more frustrating part about that, particularly when you are quote-unquote nerd checked by a black male that's also a nerd, and not all of them, but it's a particular group that irritates me, because y'all the same niggas that was crying about Spider-Man being white, about not having diversity in comic books for years since you've been children, how you've been reading these books for years, and I want somebody to look like me. I want somebody to look like me. You've been going through this a lot longer than probably a lot of group of people as far as demographic of people that read comics, and all of a sudden, it's a diverse group that don't look like you, and you're turning around and using the same tactic that was used against you to a marginalized group that just happened to be smaller than you in this market. And I don't understand that concept. I want somebody to look just like me, too. You know, I have a niece,
right.
So I try to look for comic books that she can read and that's appropriate for her age. that has little black girls starring in them, you know, because I can't speak for nobody else, but I love the fact that little black boys can read the Black Spider-Man or the Black Captain America now and feel a pride and a joy in their heart. You know, it felt good to me when Star Wars came out. And you had Boyega up there and they did videos and black men were, a lot of them were literally in tears going, I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we're represented. I can take my son now. Like, what makes you think that mothers don't want that bond with their daughters? Mothers don't want to take their daughters to Comic-Con and have them dress up as a black Wonder Woman, as a black Catwoman. You know, what makes you think, you know, that we don't want the same bond with our daughters as you have with your sons?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I noticed the split because I thought that there was a lot of solidarity and there is for the most part. But right. Prior to this fallout, I thought there was a lot of solidarity between black men and women in the blurred community. And it wasn't until Ava DuVernay was announced as possibly penning the role of being the director of Black Panther that I noticed all of a sudden all of these blurred dudes came out of nowhere saying, oh, well, she's not qualified for that. And why would they choose Ava DuVernay? Like, they were really antagonistic towards this possible choice. And I was just thinking, wow, where is this all coming from? Because, you know, other directors from other films that have no experience, because I think that was the argument for some of these dudes, that she didn't have enough experience, have directed many films. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy director, he doesn't have a long resume. So I just thought that was very interesting that, there was some bias towards, the male candidates versus the female candidates. And once, Ryan Coogler was announced, which Ryan Coogler only had, I think, two films under his belt, which, one was just released the year that it was announced that he was gonna be Black Panther director. I didn't hear any, you know, backlash. I didn't hear anything saying, well, he's not qualified. He hasn't done enough films. He's not a geek or a nerd. None of that. But when it came to Ava, there was like a plethora of reasons why she's not qualified to direct Black Panther. And I found that was very interesting.
Yeah, I remember when she was announced, I being like, oh, my God, I hope she gets it. You know, this is a, you know, kind of a dream come true. You know, such a pro-black director directing something that is such a pro-black franchise, right? And then within, I don't know, probably hours of the announcement, maybe even minutes, it was, hey man, you think she's gonna be able to direct something? She's not a black man. What would she know about being a black man?
Right.
I was like, it's a comic book though, dog. Like, right. There's material. It's not that she, I mean, you know, Selma had a lot to do with Martin Luther King, but it doesn't, like, no one was going, how she never been a civil rights leader that was a man. Like we were okay. We were just praising her and saying, why didn't she win an Oscar for that or at least get nominated? How are you just going to flip? And so, yeah, that happens often where, you know, another thing that happens is, anytime black women specifically talk about black women character representation. So like, right. If they're like, if a black woman is like, yeah, I like, I don't know, the Marvel Universe, but there's no black women superheroes. Like, brothers will immediately, well, you know, okay, so first of all, what they supposed to do, put Storm in there? Storm already in X-Men. It's like, you're already coming up with a list of ways to just ignore this critique or to,
right.
When it honestly costs you nothing to be like, oh yeah, that's a good point. They should do that. Like, there's so many things in that universe that people like started out complaining about that they've done because they got one, Marvel and Disney want all the money. Okay.
All of it.
Let's not never forget that. But then two, it's not impossible. It's a movie with flying people and shit. Like, they can come up with something, you know what I mean? Whether they have to create it from scratch, whether they just race bend someone that's currently in there. I mean, they've done it the other way, you know? So, when we're looking at the ancient one for like Doctor Strange, that's not a white woman in that comic book. So,
right.
They change things all the time. I don't understand the impetus to tell somebody no so fervently, like right away, because I have no attachment to it as far as, creative control. I don't create anything for Disney. If they fuck up, you know what? Disney fucked up, not Rod. If Fox fucks up, Fox fucked up, not me. Even if I enjoy something flawed, it's okay to enjoy it and be like, yeah, but it can still be improved. But it does feel like there's always a constant undercurrent in black nerddom between like, okay, black women want this. Okay, let's tell them why they shouldn't want that. But then I'm gonna go complain that Spider-Man is not black when they cast the new Spider-Man Homecoming.
Come on, now the shit like that is the shit that irritates the fuck out of me. Cause I pay attention to my timeline. I see dudes, they are livid when certain characters come out and they don't have diversity or they're not enough black men, and why Green Lantern gotta be white, my Green Lantern was black, right. I watched Green, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, if I come out and say something about a black female, all of a sudden, for you, the light is green, but for me, I have to wait.
Right, yellow.
Why can't we both have these things at the same time? Because the way I look at this is the same way I look at black men getting shot in the street. And a lot of black men might not look at it like this. You always get this uproar from black men when black men are dying. Cool. Guess what? You always get this uproar from black women when black men are dying, okay?
Right.
Okay. In comic books, when black men get these comics, black women, we were like, okay, cool. I want diversity too. But yet when a black woman dies, it's crickets. When a black woman dies, nobody marches, nobody protests. Or if you do, it's a little small group of people. You know, when black women die, it's always these excuses on why she got shot and why she got killed versus she's just somebody that just happened to die. And I look at it the same way when it comes across the comic books. It's like black men will uphold the patriarchy of black men because some of these black men, they actually want the same privilege as the white men, but they don't want to come out and say, I want the same privilege as the white men when it comes to comics. I want comics to be all about me. And I feel as though when black women come up, it's always some excuse. And that really, really irritates me. And I always have looked at that in the same light. Because to me, that shit matters. Because all of a sudden, when it comes to me, why doesn't not only when it comes to comic books, but comic book movies, comic book films, comic book across the board, when I see black female characters not being represented, I have the right to demand more because I feel like just if you want my money, you're going to have to deal with my opinion. And everybody wants to act like that shit don't matter. Black males spend their money. So when they talk about Black Panther, that's their opinion. That's their voices. And they want their voices to be heard. When I go buy comic books, my voice matters too, because now my dollars spend. And dollars, and at the end of the day, nobody wants to lose money.
Exactly. That's what I don't understand. I mean, you're gaining more money by making it diverse and bringing in women and bringing in black women, because we are a huge force as consumers. We have a lot of spending power. And one other conversation I remember was about Lupita Nyong'o as Maz Kanata in episode 7. Mm-hmm. I had written an article on Black Nerds and Black Girl Nerds. And then there was another contributor that wrote an article on Black Girl Nerds about the fact that she was completely erased by CGI-ing her face. And I took issue with that. And people were coming at me on Twitter, black men, were coming at me on Twitter saying, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with CGI. And why are you complaining about this? We got Lupita Nyong'o in the film. Look, we don't get to see images of women that look like us on film. And Star Wars, one of the most iconic, prolific films of our generation, it would have been nice to have seen Lupita Nyong'o play the role of a Jedi or a Sith, or even Maz Kanata just being her image instead of seeing a CGI'd alien. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there's anything wrong in critiquing that. But like you said, Karen, when it's a man, then guys just go at it and complain about it and they have an issue and they have a whole host of reasons as to why this character should be looked at it, you know, as a black male and to be depicted and represented. But when it comes to us, they just kind of find other reasons why that it's okay, or they just ignore it altogether, like Sandra Bland's name being ignored and us having to use the hashtag say her name. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate, and there's a lot of bias and a lot of sexism that's in the nerd community, and that needs to be addressed and that needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah, it's really funny too, because with a lot of these issues, if we had more than one black woman per film, I know the quota is one, I guess, maybe the limit is one, it seems, the issues wouldn't be as bad, right? Because like it feels like you have one chance to get it right. Like if you do an X-Men film, Storm, that's it. Like, mm-hmm. you fuck up Storm, now I'm just like, okay, so just, okay, now we gotta wait for another film. You know, and that's if you have one black woman in the film, right? So, Suicide Squad, you're gonna have, Viola Davis, right? So it's like mm-hmm. one, you get one chance. Like, if Star Wars had three black women with speaking parts, then it's like, okay, Lupita chose to do her thing this way, but then there's two other black women in this film or whatever. It's always just like the one. Like, right. If she don't do it, then nobody's gonna get to do it. And so, and like I said, it doesn't cost anything to just hear the critique and be like, okay, you know, like I saw the interview where Lupita was like, you know, I want to do this character this way and learn from Andy Serkis, and I'm going to use this in other things and stuff. And that's cool. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean that as a fan, I have to go, well, yeah, that's what I want from the film. I can still want something different than the actor wanted. Like, it's,
that's true. Right.
You know, it's like, I don't understand how it turned into, well, I do understand. It kind of turned into black men kind of being like, shut up.
Right. And to piggyback on what you're saying and to talk about, address something that Jamie was saying, we were talking about women. People underestimate the buying power of black women. Yes. Black women are the most educated group of people out of all demographics in the United States of America. We're highly educated, which means we have tons of degrees, which means we have fucking money to spend, which means a lot of times we own our own businesses. A lot of black women own their own business or starting their own business or have some connection with somebody that knows how to start their own business. And the thing is, black women can invest a lot of times more than any other group because a lot of times we're higher educated. And the thing is, our buying power is off the chain. Women across the board, but particularly black women, will end up splurging, spending more money than men would. People fail to realize that. Yeah, guys come, they go, okay, I want to get this amount of books. You do have men that kind of go overboard, but you have women that were like, hey, I'll pick this up for my niece. I pick this up for my nephew. I pick, you know, this one up for me. And for, you know what, you don't spend $60 when you thought, well, I was only going to spend 20. Women have a tendency to do that more just from studying statistics on women and just how they buy. So it's like you have a whole demographic there that they're telling you that they want to give you their money and you're refusing to take it. And also, something else that makes me mad with a lot of men, and I will stick with this, I hate it when you have men who don't say jack shit about nothing nerd related. I go down your timeline, it's basketball and football and hockey and soccer all goddamn day long. But the first time something come about Ta-Nehisi Coates or the something, first time, so here you come and bothering somebody, I'm like, well, if you was quiet about the other shit, keep being quiet. because not trying to, that's my promise. Like, you really don't care. Your whole purpose is just to tell me to shut up because right. you just don't want to hear me out. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't care what you talk about all day. I don't care what you do all day. But sometimes it costs nothing to be quiet because that's the problem. It's people that talk about this all day, cool. But then there's people who don't never say shit until a woman says something. Those are the people I have a problem with.
Yes. And normally what they're saying, if you translate it, is shut the fuck up.
Right.
Like, it's normally not helpful or... Well, it's normally just like, can't y'all just go back to being quiet so I can pretend that none of this is happening? You know?
And you're like, no, mm-hmm. just keep being quiet. Like,
yeah.
Why you choose this one time to speak up? Keep watching the football game. I'm not bothering your football. I'm not bothering your basketball or whatever else is happening in your life. But I bet you one thing, a black man gets shot. I got to see that shit go all up and down my timeline all day with your hands clapping.
Well, even in nerddom, it don't even have to be a black person getting shot or something. It can just be like, Captain America had his character changed to a Nazi and people are like, that's all you see all day. Like,
right.
certain, mm-hmm. like just certain things just trigger people in nerddom to like go slap off. But then, you know, when it's certain issues that you don't have to deal with,
or you don't care about,
or you, yeah, that don't represent you in any way, then it's like, oh, well, can y'all just stop being upset about it? When, you know, for the most part, when I see people being mad about something and I don't agree with it, I just don't say shit to them. I don't, like, it really doesn't cost me anything to be like, okay, I see where they're coming from, or I don't see where they're coming from, and just walk away from that topic because I'm not going to spend all day telling somebody else how they need to feel about, you know, these fictional things, you know?
Right. And also, yeah. and also, I think for me, when men do this, it's like, just like you tell white people to know their historical context,
mm-hmm.
there is a historical context about a man coming and telling a woman just to be quiet just because, and people don't want to admit that too. And then when she turn around and get mad at you and clap back because you done said something out of pocket to her, you act like she's wrong for telling you to get your ass at her timeline, get your ass at her mention, and go on about your business.
Jamie, have you had any like of the, because I know like Gamergate was like a huge thing last year, and I don't know, people on the site, do y'all write about games a lot or anything like that?
Yeah, we do have writers that talk about gaming. Lauren Warren, she's the video game contributor of Black Girl Nerds. So there's some gaming content. I think that there should definitely be some more because it's few and far between. But I haven't really, because I know the Gamergate situation and women in gaming community has been really harsh. And I mean, women have been threatened and doxxed and just all of this craziness. And I'm grateful that I haven't been involved in those circles, but I've seen it from the sidelines, and it's just, it's sickening. It's disgusting. Yeah. I don't understand what it is about women wanting to create games, play games, be a part of this community that is such a threat to men. It doesn't make any sense to me. So it's very unfortunate what has come out of the Gamergate community. And I just give all of my blessings, and just I'm 100% supportive of the women out there that are going through this and are fighting the good fight for all of us, because it's a really hard space to be a part of.
Yeah. Do you worry about having the, because I can never tell, by the way, with these Gamergate dudes, what's the thing that like makes the backlash, you know what I mean? Like, women have been gaming forever, women have been writing about gaming, women have been talking about gaming, women have been feminists forever somehow, and it's just like once every 2 weeks or so there's just something where they're just like, I don't like her because she said this. Like, do you ever worry about, you know, and not just Gamergate, but even just within blurredom, you know, you worry about your opinion and the backlash that you get for, you know, being like, I don't like this movie, or I did like this movie, or whatever.
I'm grateful that the blur community is not that vicious. It seems like white males are incredibly violent and threatening online, and black males are not, because, you know, black men are still marginalized, even though patriarchy exists. They're still marginalized like us. So, I don't get the kind of, backlash that women get in the gaming spaces. I actually was on a panel with Anita Sarkeesian, at Feminist Frequency, who is pretty prolific in the space and has written articles and unfortunately has been threatened many, many times online. And in this panel that I was at, this was at Geek Girl Con, there was actually a bomb threat, because she was there. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Like, people are really, and she has to have like a security guard around her at all times. It's just crazy. So I am grateful that I don't have to deal with that kind of, those kind of threats, but you know, it's still hard. I still deal with trolls on a daily basis. And, I just say to those folks that, you know, who are upset about this, we're not going anywhere. Right. You know, being antagonistic towards women and being antagonistic towards people of color, that's not really going to change anything. This space is going to continue to be diverse, and we will continue making our content. That's why these niche spaces like Black Girl Nerds and so many others have been created, because we've been marginalized, we have been sidelined, we have been ignored and dismissed by mainstream outlets that focus on nerd culture. So I don't see the point in being antagonistic when we're just going to stay and we're going to thrive and grow and evolve and pretty much dominate this space.
Yeah, it really is like the speech from Color Purple, that all my life I had to fight, like,
yeah,
for black woman nerddom, you know what I'm saying? Because you catch it from so many different angles. And then like how much of like Black Girl Nerds the brand is Jamie, you know, because you have a lot of people that write for you, and you do have like you know, other people on Twitter and stuff. Like, how much of it is Jamie and how much of it is just like the banner of, you know, black women, let's unite under this banner?
Let's get in formation, ladies. that's a great question. I am so grateful to have a large team of women that help in so many areas because BGN has grown substantially over the last 4 years. And because I am still balancing a full-time job and doing this, I certainly can't do it alone. So I am the one that operates the Black Girl Nerds account. It is exclusively me. So that's all, Jamie. But the website, all of the editorials that you see, most of them are written by other contributors at this point. I actually haven't written a whole lot of editorials myself lately. The podcast is co-hosted by many women. We're now doing segments where there's one-on-one interviews with guests, and all of the other podcasters are contributing to that. The at Black Girl Geeks account, which is the sister account to Black Girl Nerds, is operated by a team of women and men. There's actually men that work the account for the live tweeting of various shows. So yeah, it's a really great platform where everybody is involved. It is in fact a community of people that is putting out content for an online community. So I'm very grateful to have a lot of help with Black Girl Nerds, because if I did it all by myself, I would probably just pass out from exhaustion.
What gave you the idea to say this is a space that I want to go into as far as being a Black nerd?
You know, I 4 years ago when I created the site, I just wanted to see images of Black girls that looked like me that were a part of nerd culture. Like, I had noticed shows like Big Bang Theory and, you know, seeing websites like The Nerdist and reading even websites like Mary Sue at the time, which was predominantly white, noticing that these nerd spaces really did not reflect any women that looked like me. Even when they sold merchandise, they didn't feature Storm or Misty Knight or Monica Rambeau. And I'm just like, this is so interesting that nerd culture is becoming very big. We're seeing it, you know, in the form of comic book movies and TV shows and such. But there's no people of color in these spaces, and there's certainly no Black women. It's almost as if we're an anomaly. So I just went on Google and typed in Black Girl Nerds just to see if there was somebody out there that had a website, a YouTube page, something, and nothing came up. And I just thought that that was very interesting. Even when I typed in Black Girl Nerds under the image results in Google, I saw white women with black glasses.
What?
So, yeah. So, yeah, it was just very interesting that a community of women that have always been around, I mean, really always been around. Mae Jemison is a nerd, you know. Mm-hmm. I even think Harriet Tubman was a nerd, like mm-hmm. Phyllis Wheatley. Like, there were so many of us through time that have embraced this culture, but we've just never been reflected mm-hmm. in mainstream media. And I just was like, well, I'm going to put a term on the web and call it Black Girl Nerd. Since I can't find that term in Google, I'll create it. And that's really how it all happened.
And what about, like, growing up? Like, did you grow up reading comics or, like, what was your nerdness growing up?
I did. I started reading comics at 9 years old. Mm. The first comic I started reading was the Archie comics. Cause my mom would buy one every time we went to the grocery store. It was like in the same aisle as the cash register, and it would be on the side stand. So my mom would pick one up. And then, my mom would take my brother and I to the comic book shop. And one day I saw this comic book called Excalibur. Mm. And Excalibur is a spinoff team from the X-Men based in the UK. And I just really liked that team because it was mostly women on the team. I just saw this comic book with a whole bunch of boobs on it. And I was like, I want to see this comic book. and that's what got me started. And then from Excalibur, I went on to X-Men and had been reading comics for a long time in my childhood. And I was always a gamer. I'm not a gamer now, but I was definitely into gaming. My mom bought me an NES system when I was 10 years old, and my brother and I used to play with all of the different games on the NES system, and as well as the other systems that came after it. And, you know, I always just kind of like was a person that was okay with being in solitude. I didn't really have a lot of friends, so I spent most of my time just reading books. Mm. And I collected a lot of cards, baseball, basketball, even the comic book Marvel cards. So that was a big staple of my nerddom, and I was into things that were quote unquote guy fandoms,
right.
Which have always been embraced by nerd culture. So that is something that I always grew up with. So, you know, I guess now it's considered to be nerdy, but back then, those were just things that were cool.
Yeah, I remember, like, I don't know your mom, but I, you know, my mom, my dad, like, I do remember the struggle of the comic book rack at the grocery store, mm-hmm. because since I didn't have the money, it was always like a crapshoot on whether my mom was coming off the 99 cents or not, you know, mm-hmm. like, I have read so many issues of a comic book in the store, you know what I mean? I'm just like, I got to hurry up and finish Weapon X. I got to hurry up. Mama's in line. I got to, please don't send me to get bread. I'm just like 3 pages.
Cause you forgot the milk.
Yeah. I'm 3 pages from finding out if Logan can beat the Wendigo. Just please don't.
Right.
You know, that was such a struggle. But yeah, every once in a while, mom would be like, here's like $3-4 go, you know, comic books are like 75 cents. So. Yeah. At the time, I could go get 3, 4, 5 comic books. And like,
no more.
Kids now probably got to pick one. You know?
I know. They're high now. But that's what Free Comic Book Day is all about for me, because yes. you can get some free comics, or you can get some at a really super low discount at your local comic book shop. So it's fun to always go to the free comic book shop, because then I'm able to just like bask in the nostalgia of it all and collect. Like right now I'm on issues. I have issues 1 through 125 of Excalibur.
Wow.
So, I'm just doing collectibles now, because of Free Comic Book Day. And you can save money that way. So it's great.
Yeah, and you and your parents, or you say your mom, she was really supportive of, your nerdery.
She was. I mean, and again, like back then, we didn't know it was nerdy, right. And neither did she, but she always supported the things that, my brother and I was into, because I lived in a neighborhood that was like predominantly boys. So I wanted everything that the boys wanted. So when she purchased the NES system and got the game cartridges, like she was there playing Super Mario Brothers with us.
Oh, that's dope.
You know, she didn't read comics, but, she would be there. She would drop us off. She wouldn't be in the store with us. She'd right. do her own thing, go shopping, and then come back and pick us up. But we would be in the comic book shop, my brother and I, for hours, just hanging out, reading comic books, picking and choosing what we wanted to bring home with us. And she was always very supportive of that. So it's great to have a mom that is there to support your fandoms, because when you get older, that is something that is going to still resonate with you. And maybe you could use it to your advantage to allow those fandoms to work for you.
Right. Hey, maybe you won't put them in a home. You know, when the time comes, it's like you're going to look back and be like, you know what? You bought me a Sega Genesis. You bought me, you know, a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo. You know,
maybe you wasn't that bad after all.
You know what? I'm not going to put you in the home. Now, you called them all Nintendos, which, you know, is fine. You didn't know the difference.
No.
But in general, you know, my PlayStation wasn't a Nintendo, but yeah, you bought that for me. And I appreciate you. I feel like my parents' relationship with video games were always the same, which was, did you do your homework? Cause I'm gonna need them controllers. You gonna have to. I noticed that the house wasn't as clean as I liked it to be. Put that back on top of. I feel like my Sega Genesis spent more time on top of the refrigerator than plugged to a TV.
Oh no.
Yeah. We were. It was a struggle, man. That's why I game now, Dad. You can't stop me.
all night if I want to.
Right. Now it's like 4 a.m. I'm just making up for lost time. What about like school wise and stuff? Cause you also say you were kind of a loner, with school. Like, did you grow up, and we did the same thing with, Ben Amin, DJ Ben Amin. Like, what was your like background growing up? Like, did you grow up, like in predominantly black neighborhoods? Did you grow up taking, like, were you in the, what do you call those, like advanced classes and stuff like that?
I didn't. I wasn't really that smart. So I never did AP classes, but as far as growing up, I lived in a predominantly mixed, town. I don't know if that term's ever been used, but anyway, it was mixed because I'm from Virginia Beach. I still currently live there. And, in Virginia Beach, it's a military town. So there's a lot of people that come from different parts of the country to live here for military reasons. So people of all different nationalities and backgrounds, live in this city. So I never dealt with a whole lot of racism or, you know, anything like that. I have encountered it a couple of times being in certain sections of the city that are predominantly white. But, for the most part, I lived in a very diverse, neighborhood. And I think that that is what's helped me, have a very diverse perspective when it comes to cultures, people of different nationalities, people of different backgrounds. And I've always loved that. Like I love, TV shows and movies and content that feature us and other cultures, but I just love seeing, you know, people that are, you know, I love watching shows that are from like the BBC and I like watching K dramas and things like that. So I embrace a lot of cultures as well. So yeah, my background has been pretty mixed growing up and, I've always been a bit of an introvert. I'm still an introvert now. It's hard for me to even do like interviews like this and speaking on panels because it's, you know, being social wasn't something that has ever been my forte. But I've always been a recluse growing up and not really having a whole lot of friends when I was in school. I had a very small, close-knit group of friends. Like there was like two of us, but not anything where I was considered quote unquote popular.
So was going on, MHP show, was that like a big hurdle for you?
It was. And that whole day was crazy because the driver that was supposed to pick me up for the interview was late. And, I literally walked in the studio minutes before that segment aired. So I was frazzled to begin with, but for some reason, the moment I sat in that chair, just this calm came over me. And I was able to, you know, handle it without puking next to Melissa. And it was such an honor because she is the first person that ever followed the Black Girl Nerds Twitter account, like the first celebrity.
Wow.
So it was very much like a full circle kind of moment for me being on that show.
Yeah, I felt, as a fellow introvert, you know, it felt like I got to vicariously get my life through you. When you were there taking pictures and stff. I was on Facebook like all this, look, she's touching Melissa Harris Perry, she's touching
her. I know, it was
really cool. Now what have been some of the highlights, because I feel like we've talked about a lot of the struggle, you know what I'm saying, but what have been some of the highlights of Black Girl Nerds? I know you guys have like 70 something thousand followers on Twitter at this point. And at this point, I mean, Ava DuVernay, isn't Idris following y'all, following you?
Yeah, Idris is following.
So, like, you know, you've been on TV.
I check it every day, too. Like, right. Still following this account, let me check.
Right. what kind of things, have been the highlights, you know, cause like I said, TV and all this stuff now.
Yeah, so definitely Melissa Harris Perry show was a highlight, and Shonda Rhimes giving me a shout out on Marie Claire magazine was just insane and crazy and unexpected. And then just being able to be represented in all of these different conventions across the country, being asked to be on panels. I mean, like I said before, talking is a new experience for me. Being asked to be a part of a panel on some of the biggest, you know, at some of the biggest conventions and being on panels with very prolific people. Like last year at San Diego Comic Con, I was on a panel with Ryan Coogler. That was crazy. So, you know, those kinds of things are awesome and big highlights of Black Girl Nerds and just being recognized by so many folks in this space and having the kinds of followers that we have, Idris Elba and, Shonda, Melissa, and Ava DuVernay, and so many other great people. I'm very honored, to see that these folks really love the work that we're doing and see that this is a space that's very inclusive and also recognize themselves as nerds. For example, Lance Reddick, he was on like The Wire and Fringe. He recently followed Black Girl Nerds and he was like, well, I'm a nerd too. Like, I just think that that's really cool that, these celebrities and VIPs like the space and then acknowledge themselves as being nerdy. Because you don't really see that a whole lot. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Now also with your platform kind of growing, like there's like one thing I've always noticed too is there's a certain amount of wokeness that is supposed to be expected at this point from you. Do you ever feel like there's pressure, like when you're watching something, to be like, okay, now I gotta make sure that I'm seeing all the problematic stuff as well as all the good stuff, so that, you know, later if I go on Twitter and say I like Finding Dory, and then people come on and they're like, yeah, man, but you know, them green fish, they represented black people, and that was messed up, that you would like this film. Like, do you feel pressure to be woke?
I know you feel that as well, being in the space that you're in. I've seen your timeline, especially with the whole Bernie situation. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, there's so many things to be offended at now. It makes it a difficult space to maneuver in. And I'm always open and willing to be sensitive to issues. But sometimes I think people just want to have an air horn on Twitter and vent about something that's not anything to be incredibly upset at. Right. That said, I am woke to a lot of issues just because I, as a black woman, have to be. It's not something I choose to do. It's because it's a part of the fabric of my life. And I have to acknowledge the fact that racism is still pervasive in the spaces that I maneuver in. The fact that, you know, sexism is still very much a part of, you know, destroying a part of our community, where with the conversations that we've had earlier, gatekeeping and mansplaining and things like that. But I also want to acknowledge social justice issues because I think it's important, and having a space that has a lot of followers, being someone that's considered a quote unquote social media influencer, I think it's important for me to also highlight those issues and focus on them, because there are some people that didn't even know what has been happening in the news just because I was talking about it. And I think that that's, something to be acknowledged. But it's hard because I'm only one person on a Twitter account, so I can't acknowledge every issue, and people always love to tweet to me, did you hear about this and that? So, you know, whatever issue I feel like is something that affects me and something that I think would be, profound on the community that I represent, then I'm always willing to highlight those kinds of issues.
Yeah, it is weird, being expected to be woke, quote unquote. Yeah. Because sometimes people hit me up and like I absolutely see their point and I agree. Or sometimes like I feel like the new thing for me is that I've been liking a lot of stuff. Like ever since Batman Superman came out and I hated it, afterwards everything has kind of been like some level of enjoyable to me. I think mm-hmm. my brain has just refused to be that upset again. So I'm just like, you know, yeah. What? They had four turtles. April O'Neil was in the movie and Casey Jones was in there. I don't understand what's bad about it. And then I just move on, like, you know, rather than try to fight about it. But every once in a while, someone will come to me with something where, like the last thing was, this dude called Diggle, the character on, Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yeah, he's a coon, man. And I was like,
whoa.
Okay, that's a lot.
That's far. And like, how did we get here?
And my thing wasn't to argue with him, because when he first said it, I literally just said, okay, well, I disagree. And I tried to like I was actually watching the show at the time. So I was like, I'm going to continue to watch the show and just, you know, if you feel that way, I can't change your mind. But they kept going like, no, I stopped watching the show after a couple episodes. So can you explain? I'm like, it's literally four seasons later. Like, I don't even know, like, and so, but they kept going until I had to sit down and be like, okay, I'm pausing this now. So now I'm not enjoying what I was doing. Right. And here are the 17 reasons why I feel like he's a really complex, like a complicated character that's not just a racial stereotype, and he's not a quote unquote coon and all this stuff. And afterwards, you know, the guy was like, oh, okay, well, you know, thank you for explaining it to me. And I'm just like, but you could have watched the show. You could have, like, there, like, I don't even understand, like,
you
the.
You got so much patience, cause honey, I ain't explaining jack shit to you. Watch the goddamn show yourself.
Right? But that's the, I don't know. I guess it's pressure.
Rage machine. The rage machine is in. It started with Fantastic Four.
Oh.
Which I am one of the few people that enjoyed the film. I didn't think it was that terrible of a movie.
Yeah.
Yes, it had its problems, but people were just going at it. And I'm just like, is this the new thing now where we're just going to destroy a movie? Because they were destroying the movie before it was even released. Like, right. People was already in their feelings about it. Because it wasn't canon and it was dark and I'm just like, give it a chance. And when most of us did gave it a chance, some of us did like it and some people were just adamant about hating it. And it's happening more and more frequently with X-Men Apocalypse and Batman versus Superman. I mean, those weren't really great films, but they weren't the worst films ever made. I mean, I can name at least 10 movies that are far worse than all of those movies.
Right. So,
this whole nerd rage machine is just, it's annoying. I don't like the fact that you either have to love something or hate it, that there's no in between.
Right.
Yeah, there is a contingent of us that can feel like meh about a movie or not have any strong feelings about it. Like, I'm usually in the middle when it comes to these things. And there are some movies that I'm just like, this is the worst movie ever made.
Right.
Jonah Hex. So,
I saw that in the theater.
I just think that we need to kind of take a step back and also do a rewatch because there are movies that I've watched, you know, gave it a second and third watch and I'm just like, you know what? This isn't as bad as I thought it was when I saw it in the theater. Right. So that's another thing people need to do before they just start going off on a tantrum.
That happened with me with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first film. Like, I left the first film angry, and then I rewatched it on Amazon Prime, like, a couple months ago, and I was like, I don't know what I was mad about. they're Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's not really a lot to do, you know what I mean? Like, all the personalities fit with the things I grew up reading and watching. I don't know what I was tripping. And then, you know, suddenly I'm over it. And I think when you talk about disliking stuff on two levels, on the one level, we all have different lines and
true.
My thing is to try to respect it because I remember I read your Fantastic Four piece and I'm not gonna lie, I did hate Fantastic Four, but I remember being like, yeah, well, that's like, why would you like, cause I read the comments and I was like, why does she have to hate it too? Like, isn't it okay for me to be like, I didn't like this thing, but Jamie liked this thing and we just, you know, we can laugh about it in a year. I don't know. But why are we angry that we didn't all have the same opinion? Uniformity of opinion is not ever going to be achievable. Why not just kind of allow the fact that we have diverse opinions to kind of like flourish? And for a while, and maybe it still is this way, but because I've kind of opted out of some of the conversation online, but it felt like you had to be angry to be a nerd in a lot of spaces.
Right.
It's like synonymous with nerd. It's like, you're not a real nerd unless you're mad about shit all the time. And I'm not. I'm, you know, like, in general, I'm enjoying this time. I think we're living in a golden era of nerddom.
Come on now.
Where actors who are like,
preach.
You know, actors who don't have to do this are being like, I gotta get in this Marvel film. You know, like, like there was a time when I would be like, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to do what now? Why? Like, what? Like, why would he waste his time? Now it's like, man, Benedict Cumberbatch, lucky he got that part. Cause I mean, it was six other dudes that could have done that. Like, we're at that level now. A dude wins an Oscar and then goes, I want to be in this franchise, you know? So I feel like, for a large part, sometimes it feels like we're getting it, people take it for granted, but I just didn't want to be part of the anger culture. Because that's never what being a nerd was about for me. It was a place of solace. It was a happy place. Like, oh, I'm reading my comic book. I'm not, you know, I'm happy to talk about it with people that are enjoying it, but I wasn't seeking out people so we could all be mad about it.
Exactly. And people have to understand screen adaptations from books, creative liberties happen all the time. So if you're upset because it's not canon, then prepare to be miserable for the rest of your life, because that's what you're going to, I mean, that's what's going to be happening when these Marvel movies and these Warner Brothers DC movies come out. They're not always going to go specifically in alignment with the comic book. And that's what a lot of these fans are like angry about. And it's okay to be angry about the whitewashing situations that happen, because I think that that is a bigger conversation to have when it comes to several other films that have whitewashed people of color. But when it comes to like canon and, you know, it's not the way it is in the comic, I don't understand the point of getting mad, because it's going to be like that regardless. There's other variables involved as to why a screen adaptation of a book is not line by line what you've read page by page in the comic book.
I agree. And for me, like, me and Roderick, I'm still a few comic books behind, but me and Roderick have read The Walking Dead, like, starting from one. And so a lot of people who have read the comics, they get in their feelings when it comes to the way the show does it. And I'm not trying to be funny. To me, there are some aspects about the show that I think did a way much better job than the comics.
Yep. And I agree with that.
And that's something that is hard for people who haven't read them to, who has read them and going, well, it's not the same. I wouldn't watch the show.
Right.
That's just me. When you take a comic and you make it into a TV show, tell me a different story. Yes, we can have certain points. We can have certain landmarks. We can have certain character arcs. Yes. But do not tell me the identical same story that I already know. Twist it. Make it different. Because there are characters that are live on the comics that are not on the show, and vice versa. Or some characters that are completely made up for just specifically for the show. And for me, that's what makes the platforms different. And when you're reading a book, you got 10,000 words of description sometimes. I'm watching it. You don't have to describe what the person looks like, their skin tone, how the hair is wavy, how the light bounds up on their face. I can see the shit. Just show me.
Also, it takes, like, some of these stories, it's just not fair to put it, to put such emphasis on other mediums, because if you get 12 months to tell a story in a comic book, sometimes, like, sometimes just to write an arc of a comic book is 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then people want it encapsulated in like a 2-hour movie or a, you know, a 1-hour show. They wanted to get everything from, and it's just impossible. And also they have to make decisions, in their medium, or else it feels like it's not their baby. Like, if I'm Greg Nicotero, I'm not directing my TV show to be exactly what someone just did in the comic book, because at this now it's like, what's the point of me? I'm just an intermediary. Like, I do want to have some control. I remember when the Walking Dead controversial finale aired, it ended and I clapped. I was just like, I've never seen anyone have the balls to do that before. thank you. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be talking about this for months.
Upset about that. Yeah. There's a lot of nerd rage behind that.
Right.
Oh yeah. I was in that group.
Karen was living. Like, it ended in, if there would have been a camera on our couch, the reaction was completely different. Like, Karen.
It was two opposites in that room.
It looked like Karen's team lost the game on a game winning shot, and my team won on that same game winning shot, because I was just like, wow, oh my God, they blew my mind. And Karen's just like, what? What did they just do? And I was just like, oh, that was, you don't understand. That was like the craziest way to end it. Now we don't know what happened. It's going to be so crazy for the next 6 months. And Karen's like, well, I got to wait 6 months. Like, it was so wild in his house.
I didn't even think about it. It was, because I let a big old fuck you real loud to the TV.
She really, like, literally said fuck you.
Like, I literally screamed at that TV. Like they could hear me and put both my middle fingers up and was like, fuck you.
Oh, so good. Oh,
I could see that. And you know what? I appreciate the creative liberties that the folks over at The Walking Dead has done in comparison to the comics, because I've also read the comics. I'm way behind, but I've read the comics, and I didn't need to see the rape that happened with Michonne. Like, yes. I'm glad that
they took that
decided
out.
Not to show that.
So, me too.
Excellent. You know what I'm saying? So people have to understand some of these liberties are taken because of either the kind of network that it's on, or because that they feel like this content is just a little too triggering for audiences to watch. And
even Robert Kirkman has admitted to being like, oh yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Like, if now me knowing, looking back, would be like, yeah, there's no need to take it there. Like, he said he wouldn't have cut Rick's hand off. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty major part of that story, and he can never undo it. But it's little stuff like that where this show gave him a second chance to do things better in his mind. So it's just interesting to see how people react to it. But yeah, you're right. I did not want to see what happened to Michonne happen on that. Nope.
Yeah. Because like you say, the platforms are different. So the visual is kind of different than actually reading it through a black and white comic.
It was hard to read though.
It was terrible.
Like, it
to
wasn't
read.
like I remember we were getting all the comic book graphic novels. Like, Karen would come home, I got two more. And we'd be like, all right, I'll, read them and, try to read them first and stuff. And we'd go out and lunch or dinner or whatever. We'd be like, oh, did you remember when they did this? Did you see that? But this was like the one time where I was like, we don't really need to.
That one. And one more thing I would like to say now, since I go back and we talked about the way The Walking Dead ended, one thing I can say, and one thing I do give The Walking Dead kudos for, they did what they were supposed to do, which is invoke emotions. And I think some people have a tendency to forget that feeling is part of the show and the enjoyment and why you come back. Because even if you was like great or you was like fuck you, they invoked an emotion out of you.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. And actually it's brilliant and it's wonderful. And it's one of those things where more shows should do that, but they wouldn't have the balls to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they put in work for 6 seasons. Mm-hmm. Okay. They called their shot, man. I have no problem with what they did. Like,
I don't either.
It made me look back, like, cause I knew something was up when they had Glenn live. I was just like, okay, I feel like everyone knew that he wasn't dead, but they're now setting us up to where we need to look at the show and go, oh, despite what you saw, anything could happen.
Right.
And so, yeah, now we have that anything could have happened moment, and they're messing with us, and I like being messed with. I don't know what to tell y'all. I'm, mess with my mind, baby. I'll be back in October.
and they have a loyal following enough to where they can do stuff like this, and we'll still come back.
Yeah.
So, kudos to them. I don't think it's going to be Glenn. I think because they teased us about his death, that they're not going to do that to us again. So it'll be interesting to see who ends up being
What's amazing, Jamie, is this is now at the point where even if it was Glenn, it would still feel like a blow, and that's something I thought was impossible, because people were saying that it was Glenn for all this time because it was Glenn in the comics,
right?
And I was like, well, I don't think they'll do it, because everyone's going to be like, I knew that would happen, so it's not a big deal. But now it's like, if it was Glenn when they come back, I'll still be kind of shocked because of that feeling that I had that they gave me at the end of this finale. Like, not saying that it would be as shocking as other people, and I still don't think it will be him. But if it was him, I would still be like, oh my God, the impact of this moment is like the comic book when they killed him. It resonates with me, as opposed to, of course they got to do this to end the series or end the season. They got to kill Glenn or whatever. So, mm-hmm. All right.
And
yes, Karen.
Okay. One more thing before we move on, when we was talking about people, about their movies, I ask people what kind of mind frame they was in, because that makes a difference on how they view things. If you were tired, if you were sleepy, if you were high, if you were drunk, that's going to affect your view and how you do movie, because I watch movies tired, and if I watch a movie tired, most likely it's the most worst shit I ever seen, because I was tired and I wasn't focused. So a lot of times I'm like, hey, how did you watch this movie? Or if you already went in with the bias of fuck this movie, I gotta almost eliminate your opinion too, because you were angry going in.
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this, dog, and I realized this a couple years ago, I'm a narcissist about my opinion. I don't really care that much about other people's opinions of what I don't listen to any review shows anymore. Like, if someone's like, oh, I'm a review, why do I care? I watched it myself and I felt a certain way. I don't need to know how you felt about it. Like, I don't mind a conversation or critique or something like that, but I'd rather it be like a personal thing, where we talk about something, or, if I read like, oh, this thing in this movie was done badly or whatever, that's cool. I'll read that. But as far as like you being like, this is how I feel about, I don't know, this is how I feel about Finding Dory, I don't care, like, for the most part, and I don't mean to be cold with it, but it's the truth is, right. It's never gonna make me not enjoy what I enjoyed or make what was bad to me good, you know? So, and I've kind of accepted that most people, whether they admit it or not, are kind of the same way. Like, if, mm-hmm. if someone doesn't like Watchmen and I love Watchmen, there's literally nothing I can say to them that'll make them go, well, now I like it, Rod. I'm glad we argued for 30 minutes. Because it doesn't happen on the internet. True. So why are we doing it to each other? Let's just accept that we have differences and be cool, man. Just don't be like destructive with your differences and stuff. That's all. All right. We have a couple news articles to get to and then we'll play our games. All right.
Cool.
But I've enjoyed this conversation because, me too. You know, I felt like, you know, we never got to really talk with Jamie the other time. We went straight to reviewing Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
All right, so here's some news for you guys, okay, fellow people out there that go on Facebook. You probably have social media, right? We all do. You should log out of Facebook when you're watching porn.
Uh-oh, why is Facebook flashing my porn up?
Well, apparently since 2011, I guess 7 years ago, 7 years ago, they promised that in 2009 that they would not use the like and share buttons to track people, but that changed. And in 2011, the site publicly stated, no information we receive when you see social plugins is used to target ads. We delete this information within 90 days. We never sell you your information.
Which is probably not true either.
Well, they've changed. They've gone back on their word. And okay. Now, instead of only tracking you if you click the like or share button, they will track you if one of those buttons is on the site you're at, regardless of the behavior.
Holy shit!
Mm-hmm. So if you're in streaming porn sites that have like, oh, do you want to like or share this porn clip? Which I've never really understood the point of those buttons there, because are there people? I don't know. Maybe there are people that are like, Facebook, check this out. This is what I'm into, you know?
Somebody must be sharing it, because they be like, you can share it on Twitter, Google. I'm like, why would you share this?
Maybe that's what I need to say. Need to start doing, see what everybody can see what I'm into.
But you know, let's say I do something I like, it don't mean I want the shit to flash on Facebook.
Right. I need my followers to really understand me as a person. Every
as a whole person.
Everything that is Rod, you need to understand, okay? You need to know Ebony Chick with Bog with Bog Tits. Like,
you need to know all my fetishes.
Right.
All fetishes. Of them.
Yeah, when I never leave comments on streaming porn sites, mm-mm. But unless it is a typo, I'll let the person know. sir, those are not bog tits. Those
spelled
are
boobs wrong.
Yeah, sir, come on. Ebony, the Y goes before the N. What are you doing after the N? But yeah, so apparently their new privacy policy says we collect information when you visit or use third party websites and apps that use our services, like when they offer like button or Facebook login or use our measurement and advertising services. This includes information about websites and apps you visit, your use of our services on those websites and apps, as well as information the developer or publisher of the app or website provides to you for us or us. So yeah, man, you might want to log out of Facebook. I don't know. I won't be logging out.
Me either, because that's fucking inconvenient. Who want to keep logging back in every time you go on to Facebook?
Well, it's also for me, man.
I hate Facebook.
I kind of like when they track my stuff. I love those targeted ads. Like,
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bought two t-shirts. I was like, oh, good for you, Facebook. I did want that basketball t-shirt. That is, you know, I don't know. I'm like Tom Cruise in Minority Report when he was walking through the mall and it was just like, hey, Tom Cruise, don't you like them slacks that you, they got a brown pair now, you know?
Well, I'm getting better because I was anti that. But yeah, sometimes it reminded me of shit I clicked on about, oh yeah, I did want that.
Right? Like,
now I'm blowing my money on it because you reminded me.
I don't got nothing to hide, dog. Like, if I left something in my eBay gift basket, my Amazon checkout basket, yes, please remind me, Facebook, because I am absent-minded sometimes, and I'm like, that is right. I do need that tea tree oil for my beard. I was about to run out, but Facebook saved me, man. Thank you, Facebook. But yeah, I understand nobody else likes that, so I'm okay with that.
I'm better at it.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm oblivious to all of this because I'm barely on Facebook. It's such an annoying platform for me right now.
It is the problem with Facebook is you have to see everybody else's thoughts sometimes.
Yeah.
What I like to do, or what I've done, is I basically curated it so that it only alerts me with certain people that I like when they post.
Yep.
Is that a new setting?
You go to friends. First of all, you have to turn off your notifications, and you can also turn off your front page so that it doesn't show what's most recent, and it just shows you what you're most likely to want to see. And then I go to people's pages, and I'm like, give me notifications when this person posts. So now I feel like it's a much safer space for me, because I'm just like, oh yeah, I love this person, everything they say, let me go check all what do you know. Facebook is the greatest.
Yes, let me like another baby picture versus right. I hate all gays. No, I right. don't have time for that.
Like it actually saved some people, because I know there's still gotta be, because I don't actually have however many thousands of friends on Facebook. Like, I don't, all those people aren't my friend. I know there's gotta be people among them that I wouldn't even really like if I got to know them.
Right.
But I'm never gonna get to know them because I've curated my Facebook. So it's probably saving some people from me coming in being like, so this is homophobic and this is why I don't fuck with you. Like, it probably saved them some time. So good for you guys. I don't get to see your snarky Beyonce updates, and it helps everybody.
I ain't got time, because you're going to get bees and lemons, so yeah, we don't need to be in each other's Facebook lines.
Speaking of nerd stuff and social media, a nerd war broke out over Patton Oswalt's criticism of movie critics and the Ghostbusters boycott. First of all, are you boycotting Ghostbusters? Are you going to see it?
I didn't even know that there was a boycott, so that's very interesting. So I'm curious to hear the rest of this story, but I'm not that like excited about it just because of what they did with the Leslie Jones character.
What's the deal with Leslie Jones? You wish she was a scientist, or?
I really do. You know, I actually was at Tidewater Comic Con, and Ernie Hudson was there talking about his experience with Ghostbusters, and I also read his article that he talked about how he initially thought that his character Winston was going to be a scientist, and he was given so much agency over this role, and as it turned out, when they started filming and he looked at the script, they cut down like half of his lines. And he wound up being the everyday man. So I was kind of hoping that Leslie would have more, given that Ghostbusters original film was in the 80s and we're now in 2016, that we've gotten a little bit more progressive. But for them to again pigeonhole her as the everyday man and not give her the role of a scientist, I just thought that that was problematic for me. You know, we don't get to see many black women scientists on the big screen, especially in movies as prolific as Ghostbusters, where it would be impressionable for young black girls to see this film. I wanted to see more. And, I think I had seen your tweets and some other tweets, you know, defending that Leslie Jones is encompassing of, all types of black women, and that we shouldn't look at ourselves as a monolith. But it would have been nice to have seen her as a scientist, and to not fall again into these tropes that I continually see white writers writing for black women. That we have to be the sassy black woman, that, you know, we have to have an attitude. I think there's a scene where she's with, you know, hanging out with, or she's saying some sort of line in front of a Cadillac, and like just some of these various stereotypes, we get pigeonholed by a lot of white writers. And I just wanted to see more. I'm not boycotting, but I'm not like going to be rushing to the movie theater to go see it.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand all that. I think, My main issue with all this stuff has been that it's not, because I saw people blaming her, like going on her Twitter account, calling her all kinds of names and stuff that I'll never support.
I don't understand that. Why go after the actress? She got hired to do a role. Right. It's not her fault. Go after the writers.
Right.
And she should be tweeting.
my main thing was, and for the record, I don't have any problem with her character, to be honest. I don't mind. From my understanding, that was actually a role written for Melissa McCarthy, but Leslie showed up and showed out at the casting, and they basically moved Melissa McCarthy out of that role, because Leslie did it better. She's she's great at slapstick, which is saying a lot, because Melissa McCarthy is great at slapstick. I mean,
right,
you know, to outdo her is a lot. My problem is, why it's only gotta be one black woman in the movie? Why it's only gotta be, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we always end up fighting over the scraps when, you know, there's no excuse that they, even if it wasn't a black woman, there couldn't be a Latina Ghostbuster. Right. There couldn't be, right, like, they think they're doing such a, and I'm not saying they're not, they think they're doing such a, like, groundbreaking idea to say women, like, look, it's women Ghostbusters. But at the same time, it's like, well, why not women Ghostbusters and one of them's in the LGBTQ community?
Right.
Why not women Ghostbusters?
What's her name? McKinney?
Yes.
Kate McKinnon? Now, she's a lesbian.
Right.
Is her role also a lesbian? I'm just curious.
Right. Exactly. Like, it doesn't have to stop at, well, we switched the genders and now everything's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, I do expect Leslie to be the funniest part of the movies, because regardless of, you know, how, you know, the tropes and stuff, when I watch the trailer, she's the only part I laugh at, which I think is kind of gonna, that doesn't bode well for the movie, in my opinion.
Mm-mm.
Is because you went and got four comedians and there's one that I'm like, oh my God, well, wow, that, okay, you got me to chuckle, Leslie. And then the other ones, I'm like, so when are y'all going to do some funny stuff? Okay, you're making faces and holding guns. Cool. Well, so my thing is, I wish we just had more diversity, because I don't mind. I think Leslie Jones is such a complicated person to talk about, because there are people that are kind of ashamed of just her type of blackness. You
right,
know?
And she's been criticized on it so much. So I guess for me, that's what my pushback is when people, you know, talk about her character. But like you say, it's bigger than just her. It's the writing. It's a bigger issue.
There's an entire product that has been put together, and even some of the commentary I saw from the writers and from what's his name, Feinberg, well, the guy who's directed it.
Oh yeah, Feig.
Yeah,
Paul Feig.
Yes, even his commentary sounded kind of ignorant. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. They were, I know they think, oh, we're defending Leslie Jones, but in a way, it's like, you're making it worse. Like,
yeah.
Why aren't, like, what about the very valid critique that this is just the one black woman role that you had? Like,
right.
What makes you so resigned to the fact that racially it has to be the exact same, but women? Like, you couldn't even consider it. You know, you have a room full of white women writers and stuff. Like, there's no part of you that goes, well, maybe we could have done that better or whatever. And I'm not, the movie's done. I'm not expecting these people to do interviews and be like, yeah, we fucked up the movie, guys. Don't go see it. I understand you got to sell your product, but the critique isn't some outlandish thing,
no,
you know?
It's not.
Whatever.
I just wanted to jump in and just refer to your comment about people being ashamed of, Leslie Jones' blackness.
Right.
Or that type of blackness. You know, that is something that's always been interesting to me, because I think that there's a large contingent of black women that are very much like Leslie Jones's character.
Right.
And Leslie Jones as a person, she does this character in her SNL skits all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But my issue is the fact that there's no balance, that is the only character that we always see when roles are written for black women.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see that balance. I had just done a podcast about Orange is the New Black, and we were talking about the black female inmates and how, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a big spoiler that happens in the show. And one of the characters who doesn't fall into a lot of the stereotypes that I always see depicted on the big screen and the small screen when it comes to black women is no longer going to be on the show. And that just is always disheartening for me as a black nerd, as someone who's kind of outside of the margins of a certain type of blackness. And I just want to see women that are like me. And there's so many of us out there, and we are completely erased to the point where people think, oh, well, you're not really black if you are into these things or if you speak this kind of way. When blackness is so diverse, and it's not a monolith. It's not just this one type of blackness. So to see white writers go down this path, assuming that black women are this specific kind of way, that's what I always take issue with. It's not the fact that I take issue with the fact that she's sassy or whatever, because so am I. But the fact that we are always being pigeonholed as being one type of thing, that we are a one-dimensional group of women. And I just see this time and time again in these writers' rooms, and it's very discouraging for me. So that's the biggest issue and critique that I have about Leslie Jones's character in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I think part of it also depends on what we're paying attention to, because like there are, you know, I think there are offsetting things, such as we have Blackish, where I don't think the show would be the same without Rainbow, right?
Right.
And she doesn't really fit those stereotypes.
I love that character.
Yeah, you know, that people would, that I think people typically seem to have, and she's still a very funny black woman. Mm-hmm. And it's, yes, not the same, it's not the same, and she, you know, she's funny and everything, but it's not the same as like what Leslie does. There's you know, we have our Kerry Washington, but we have our you know, like people from the whole Shondaland mm-hmm. part of the black universe, you know, where it is the more quote unquote put together type of professional quote unquote blackness. I feel like with Leslie, she just kind of existed this intersection of people are really supportive of her in black spaces because there's more understanding of the context of what she does. So it's like, yeah, when she was, because she's 48 years old, right? She's been around for a long time, but it's mostly been to only black audiences. So if people knew of her before Saturday Night Live, 99% chance you were just a black person, like and not just a black person, but a black person that exists in a certain type of space, because she really wasn't breaking out anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So right. to me, I look at her as a person that put in so much work, and now she's reaping the benefits of this work. And I don't have any, my opinion doesn't change because white people are seeing it. I feel like for some people, it changed the second that it was like Saturday Night Live. It's like, oh wait, white people are going to be laughing. What are they laughing at? Like, are they laughing the way I laugh when I think of my aunt? Or are they laughing like they're looking at Mammy or something? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's going to always bother us because this is America and we have a complex racial history. I'm trying to kind of erase that feeling out of my mind because I realized that I was harboring certain negative feelings, even with the equal and opposite, when they would have like a black woman, but she has to prove that she's not like the other black people, or mm-hmm. you know, like Aisha Tyler. Like when I see Aisha Tyler in something and the joke is kind of like, well, I was smart, I did SATs and I talk white, and people were kind of ostracized. I used to feel negative feelings about that, like, what, why you gotta, like, why she get to be the black person on Friends? That's fucked up. but then I realized, like, it always comes back to the same place for me. There's never enough black people, and especially black women, there's just never enough. Mm-mm. So it always goes to this pressure on the performer and the act and the writers to make this one black person kind of represent a whole lot of different things. And it's kind of not fair because no black person can do it. And then the negativity that they experience, you know, these people who inhabit these roles and stuff, the negativity they experience to me is never worth it. It feels like we make it thankless to be black and in the spotlight, when I would love for all different kinds of black people to get the spotlight and for us to be like, yo, I root for that person. No, I'm not like that person in every way. We didn't experience everything the same. We don't talk the same. We don't use the same slang, but it's so beautiful that that type of black person is getting on and getting focused, and I hope other people do too, you know, like, I hope it always leads to more of us getting stuff, cause I do want there to be a Leslie Jones and a Leslie Jones type of black woman, you know, in spaces where we're like, wow, I didn't think they would put a black person in this. But I also don't think anything would be wrong with having, like, why couldn't Aisha Tyler be in that same movie? You know?
Balance. I mean, like her show that she does, The Talk with Cheryl Underwood.
Right.
Perfect balance.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Coming from two different backgrounds, different perspectives. Like, that is what I want to see. And that what that's what reflects real life. That's what we encounter every day when we go to work or when we go to church or, you know, we're just hanging out with friends in public places. That's what real life is. It's not just one type of personality that's encompassing of an entire race of people.
Right.
And that's what I just want to bring to light is that, you know, we are a very diverse diverse and grouped together is diverse. A diverse group of people and that needs to be accurately reflected.
And I I won't lie, I do have distrust of white writers. Like I do, and I'm never gonna not, to be honest. So
it is. They mine for a lot of our content on social media, so you have every right to distrust them.
For sure.
Right.
And but when they write something, I am like, my angst typically goes towards the writers because it's up to them to kind of disprove how I feel about them. And that might not be fair either, but that's kind of where I am, where when I see something and I'm like, I don't like this. Who wrote this? That's like where my mind goes immediately, where I'm like, this representation seems kind of whack. Who came up with this? Okay, let me guess. You think you're still stuck in the 80s where the comic relief of black people is, oh, look at this black dude. He sells drugs. And isn't that funny to put in my show or whatever? And, you know, this black guy, he fights with the cops. It's like, well, that for me is a very serious situation.
Right.
It's only funny if you don't live in our culture and you don't care about it. So, it is kind of like that where, I don't think I'll never really trust most of the writers and stuff who put out this content, but in general, to me, like Saturday Night Live became better, not because of Leslie Jones or Shazier Shamata by themselves. They hired two black women writers.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I see clips and I'm like, oh, that is actually better. And some black people must have been in the room to get this, the one where they had like the Emmys or the Oscars, like, that little clip, I'm like, so either black people wrote this or they were definitely in the room to show this, because Saturday Night Live didn't used to even have enough black people to do a sketch about black people not winning awards,
right?
They have kind of changed, and I feel like that's the kind of stuff I want to see black people. Who was it? It was person who directed the OJ, I forget his name, but the OJ FX series, he has a basically like a quota where he's like, I give a certain amount of projects to people of marginalized groups. Like if I have 10 episodes, 6 of those have to go to people who aren't like white dudes. Yeah, that's right. That's what we need. Like, I don't, it's not just getting an actor. Shout out to Matt Damon. It's not just in front of the camera, but behind the camera too. We need that. So.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the type of shit that matters when you was talking about Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I see more of Black Twitter tweeting about it because for a long time, people did not watch Saturday Night Live, period. Like, they watched it, but they watched it afterwards, or you mm-hmm. would see people complain about it the whole time, or you might have had a skit every now and then. But, shout out to Keenan that was like, you know what? I'm not playing no black woman, no goddamn mole. Y'all need to go hire somebody. And shit started changing it for me.
Yeah, he got a lot of flack for the way he phrased that, but look.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for his ass, we wouldn't have got any black women working there, because he was like, I'm playing everybody, okay? This is getting crazy right now. And they're like, well, do they not have any black women? He's like, look, I don't know if they just not, the ones they looking at ain't good enough or what. What I do know is I'm not putting on a dress no more. So figure it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I said, I'm glad that he said something though, because I really don't think it would have happened if he hadn't have said that, and if there hadn't have been an uproar. And because it was ridiculous. Right. You can't play Michelle Obama. We can't have a Beyonce. These are some of the biggest names in the world, and you have a show that mocks current pop culture and current events. You don't have any actress that can play the roles. That was ridiculous.
Right. And I think for me, like you say, either these black women wrote or they had some influence on the Beyonce, when they had the joke about the beehive coming and killing you, when they had the when they was joking about the white folks who realized Beyonce was black, like
she wasn't making formation for white folks,
right?
Yes.
And so that shit that I'm trying to find it, you would not have gotten without some kind of black influence. Yeah. Period. Yep. I'm just sorry.
That's true.
They might not have even wrote it, but the idea got pitched.
Right, and it's better.
Right.
You know, I meant to write that. I said that. I wrote this down earlier, but I didn't say it. When Vixen showed up on Arrow, regardless of how people go, well, I don't know why these black women complaining. When Vixen showed up on Arrow, all of us were like, oh, this is much better. Why she should be in this every week. I don't know why this took so long. I would watch a whole show just for her. Like, not a cartoon, but a live action show. Let's do it. It always gets better. Stop being mad, you know? Anyway, speaking of being mad, these dudes are boycotting, not because of anything dealing with race or Leslie Jones. They're boycotting because it's women Ghostbusters, and they refuse to support for women being Ghostbusters. So Patton Oswalt listened to one of their podcast reviews, Cinema Massacre or something like that, Cinema Massacre. And he tweeted about it. He said, I really wanted to hate this Cinema Massacre review, but I'm such a fan of noisy, thick saliva swallowing, it won my heart.
What a way to describe it.
He didn't call the guy any names. He didn't call him misogynist or a loser, but he clearly doesn't support this boycott. He said that he was basically, he said, fair enough. I like at Cinema Massacre. I'm just tired of preemptive criticisms, society imploding, it's gross. He ended up, and they were like, well, you didn't like some movies. He said, yeah, I sure did, after I saw them.
Right. After I saw them.
Right. He said, amen, but he did that old timey thing when you see a movie, then criticize it. Not cool, you know? So then later he actually apologized by saying that his beef wasn't really with this guy, but kind of like more this idea that they're just, everyone just wants to this movie to fail because it's women,
right?
And he was like, you know, I shouldn't have picked this guy. He said, you know, still kind of foolish that I went on Twitter and went after him, because it's really not him, it's more than him, it's a lot of stuff. So of course, being the internet and social media, the fans of this guy started responding to Patton Oswalt,
of course,
whose wife just died maybe a month or two ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they responded with, remember when your wife died? It was funnier than anything you've ever did in your entire career.
Wow. That's
for
terrible.
Real?
Mm-hmm. At least the guy who does that podcast, at least his wife is still alive, to be honest, at Patton Oswalt. Just because your wife is dead, that's no reason to act like an asshole. Sorry your wife, Shamu, couldn't get back to the ocean in time. Now she's dead. I'm trying to talk about her weight. Did your wife like this sorry, says some dude. So like, that part of nerddom and Gamergate and alt-right, all this stuff combined, is so ridiculous to me at this point, because all this because Patton Oswalt doesn't agree with boycotting a movie that you haven't seen, or right. You know, like saying that it's impossible for this thing to be good without at least seeing it and being like, okay, it wasn't good. So
yeah, and the sad part, all you did was prove him right.
That's all you did.
Right.
So anyway, that just that sucks. All right.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Let's get into our games, guys. Okay, let's try to take it to something positive. I'm not gonna do fucking with black people in it to save time, but I feel like everybody listening to this, we've all been fucked with, okay?
Yeah, at some point today, yes.
Yeah. All right, guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. That's right, it's time for guess the race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants, today, Jamie of the Black Girl Nerds podcast, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along. And chat room is racist. All right. A woman has been charged with a deadly crime spree. And she blames Chick-fil-A. A woman is... That's right, Karen. A woman is facing several charges after being accused of a deadly crime spree.
So, did the cows get gangster?
Kill more people is spelled wrong.
Right.
It's on a billboard or something.
Ah!
However, her explanation for the violent crimes has forced a judge to order her to undergo psychiatric evaluation. In May, authorities say Christy Nesby drove her car onto a sidewalk, running down a 71-year-old woman.
Holy shit.
I know. Mm-hmm. That spicy chicken deluxe is good.
Apparently so.
That woman was rushed to the hospital, but she died from her injuries. After striking the pedestrian, the suspect carjacked another motorist vehicle and fled the scene southbound on Cobb Parkway, said the police.
Oh.
A short distance down the road near Canton Road and I-75, the suspect committed an additional carjacking and fled that scene as well.
Holy shit!
Wow.
Grand Theft Auto, man.
Real life.
Right? I didn't know it was that easy to carjack people. I thought that was just in video games.
I guess people must ride around with the... Y'all doors don't automatically lock after you go about 5 spins on the tires. Upgrade.
Then she wrecked that car.
Holy shit!
Grabbed a gun and attempted to carjack another driver.
What?
Now, was she... Now, okay, I'm a little confused. Was she carjacking people before this without the gun?
Apparently so.
Or, like, what was she? Sure. Get out your car. Okay, all right.
With the chicken sandwich in the
hand. Right. Don't make me dip these waffle fries in blood. I do it.
That was a deadly ass sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Officers caught up with her and arrested her on several charges. Nesby called 911 during the crime spree and said she wanted to stop, but she couldn't. I am trying not to do this, okay, guys? Help. Nesby reportedly told police she went to Chick-fil-A and someone had spiked her drink. A judge has ordered a medical evaluation for Mrs. Christy Nesby. Jamie, guess the race.
Spiked the drink.
Okay, I'm going to say white. All right. Because most of the people I see that frequent Chick-fil-A are white.
Okay, all right.
So, staff, the patrons... There's always a long line of cars when I go to Chick-fil-A, and it's usually a whole bunch of white folks with their kids in the car, yelling and screaming, got dogs, and yeah.
Jamie going with the odds of how much white people frequent Chick-fil-A. I like this strategy. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. A black woman would have blamed Popeyes or Bojangles, so I'm guessing white. Black Rob also going with the chicken profiling.
Chicken profiling. All chickens matter.
Yes, they do.
I just like that we all know if I would have said KFC, everyone would have said white. HC says the carjack drivers told that white woman, I believe you want that car over there. Joe Spacey says had Slick Rick's children's story playing in the background black, so he's going with black. Everybody else went with white. Well, the correct answer is, chat room and Jamie, she was black. You guys missed it.
Whoa.
And one person got it right. Congratulations, buddy.
Glad I wasn't guessing. I got that wrong too.
Well, the good news is that Jamie missed it. That's the bad news. But the good news is you're not racist, you know. You gotta look at the positive side, man. All right, let's see. Let's give her a chance to make it up. Let's go with another one. How about this one? A woman has been banned from all US national parks for scrawling her Instagram name on protected rocks.
Meanwhile, on Instagram.
Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay.
So she's actually writing her name on these rocks and Instagramming the images? Is that what's going on?
And it's her Instagram name. A woman has been banned from all of the U.S. national parks but for defacing protected rocks with graffiti, including her social media handle. So she definitely wasn't trying to get away with it.
Never gonna find you.
Casey Knockett, as Creeping Tings on social media, posted evidence of her Instagram on Tumblr pages. She has been banned from going to these public places during her 2 years of probation. U.S. Magistrate Judge Sheila K. Oberto also sentenced the 23-year-old to 200 hours of community work. She will be required to pay a fine, which will be decided at a hearing at a later date. The defendant's defacement of multiple rock formations showed a lack of respect for the law and our shared national treasures, said U.S. Attorney Philip A. Talbert. Yeah, this is why you don't want to deface a national park. she dealing with like federal judges and federal like
this ain't your state and local charges. Levels they ain't trying to hear that bullshit.
They ain't got the U.S. attorney, man. Like, damn.
It's like, you picked the wrong rock.
Yeah, like, you defaced this rock, and then David from Scandal shows up.
Out of nowhere. Yeah.
The National Park Service has worked hard to restore the rock formations to their natural state, completing cleanup efforts in 5 of the 7 national parks. Ooh, she did it 7 different places.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit. So she did a country tour.
Yes, all right, I already know what race this is.
She was going she was gonna write a book about it and sell it or something.
On a tour. That's what she was doing.
They expect to complete the cleanup efforts at Death Valley and Crater Lake National Parks as weather permits. Miss Knockett painted faces in acrylic paint on rocks with panoramic views in various national parks in a 26-day period in 2014. She signed her graffiti with her social media name and on these social media accounts were photographs of her completing the acts.
Oh.
So she like literally caught herself red-handed. Like, hey, look, it's me doing it, and this is me in the act, and this is the after thing. Okay. Some of the vandalism has been difficult to remove because of sandblasting and chemical stripping techniques, which are used to remove paint, can cause irreplaceable damage to rocks and other natural features. She since deleted her Instagram and Tumblr accounts following public outcry. Well, why did you think that would go over good though? You know, like, you know, she just don't know social media. Cause like, there's certain things where it's just like, you do know everybody's going to get outraged about this, right?
Right. You did it something at a national park and people are going to be like, hey, let me go check this out right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. She recorded a crime. Like, this social media age that we're in now, man, people are just, they don't realize how accountable they will be for their actions the moment they hit that send button. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. See, now there's fake accounts purporting to be her that sprung up, posting pictures of her crimes. In an original post, she wrote, "It's art, not vandalism. I'm an artist." And of course, the national parks are your canvas. That's okay.
All of them.
I wonder if that was her argument. Look, it is a public park. I pay my taxes. I can do whatever I want. At any rate, guess the race of Miss, what is her first name? Casey Knockett.
I'm gonna say white because black folks, we ain't got time for all that.
All right, there you go.
She spent way too much time getting involved with this rock collection and she did it at 7 national parks, you said?
Yep.
Yeah.
She had to
That's a white thing to do.
She had to get travel plans, right? Because,
fly out.
It's not like all the national parks are in one area. You got to go.
Right. You got to cross many states.
That's a lot of planning. All right.
Yeah.
See what the chat room believes. Who else is so bold messing with national parks? White. Black people don't even visit national parks. White. We did.
Y'all are wrong for that.
We did recently cover a study where it was a very low percentage, but we be there, y'all. It's just not a lot.
It's not a lot of us.
Peak whiteness. Only white people gentrify Yellowstone National Park. Poor Yogi and Boo Boo. She had the funds for this nationwide vandalizing spree and knew where 5 national parks were. Your privileged dollars at work.
Yep.
Irvin to be the trying to be the female Banksy White. All right, well, everybody got it right. She was white. And I just put her picture in the chat for you guys, so she was white and proud of it. She was just like, look at me. All right, now let's go to the bonus round.
Yeah, she thought she was being spontaneous. Nobody ever thought about this.
Right.
Wonder why.
Right, right. All right, bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points. Double the race for the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Jamie is 1-1. But now that we're in the bonus round, can she make it all up? Find out in a second after this commercial.
She's on.
The bonus round of Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. That's right, y'all. Mm-hmm. They back. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. All right, get smooth, man. It is summertime. It is peak cuffing season. Okay, it's gonna be coming upon us soon, and you gotta get your game right, man. Okay, we've had blurs break the internet. We've had black chefs break the internet. Black beer is gonna be breaking the internet soon, guys, and if you're not in formation, you're gonna get left behind on the wave. Okay,
it is a beard account. I forgot the name of, I don't know if it's at beards, whatever it is, that them beards be on fleek
at beards.
I don't know what the name is. All I know is I see sexy men and beards going down my timeline,
and you gotta get it trimmed up right. Okay, get it looking neat, man. Ladies don't want you looking, like you having some issues, you know, staying within the lines like a coloring book, man. You gotta get that beard game tight. And what you also don't want is a whole bunch of like bumps and, you know, drying your skin out from all these products, man. So Bevel actually makes products designed for people like us. You know, you got priming oil, shaving cream, restoring balm. Like they really thought of everything, even the safety razor for those of y'all who've never like really shaved before. You don't have to like be stressed out about it. So do yourself a favor, go to getbevel.com, use code TBGWT, and you get 20% off your first month at getbevel.com. That's getbevel.com, code TBGWT. All right, let's go to the last one. Let's see, how about this one. Police say a group of men were caught in the Holland Tunnel with weapons, and they claim to be on a vigilante mission.
Like Arrow.
To say, this could sound like the start of Arrow, don't it?
Team Arrow got caught on the way to stop another one of those truck motorcycle heist, you know.
Yes,
that is like that is a staple of that show. They will work a truck motorcycle heist into everything.
Yes. With some flips,
right? Yeah, we're gonna get some flips. We're gonna be jumping off the top of trucks. We're gonna be falling. It's, you know, it's gonna be glorious.
They diesel budget is probably off the chain then.
Yeah. Right. They have done it every single way too. They've done Team Arrow driving the truck, they've done Team Arrow on the motorcycles. It's already playing. All right, so let me see if I can play this article now.
The lead suspects say this stockpile of weapons was part of a plan to rescue a teen in trouble.
A teen in trouble. Okay. Mm. Someone got kidnapped. Was it Thea? Maybe Thea got kidnapped.
Ah! Oh, yeah.
You know?
Felicity?
The article's loading. Let me just read it. So three people were caught on an alleged vigilante mission with an arsenal of weapons during a routine traffic stop at the Holland Tunnel on Tuesday. Apparently John Cramsey, 50, and Dean Smith, 53, both of Zionsville, Pennsylvania, and Kimberly Arendt, who's 29, of Lehighton, each faced several weapons charges. They were arrested as they passed through the tunnel at 7:40 a.m. The group claimed they were vigilantes on their way to extricate a teenage girl who was being held by a drug dealer. Initial reports say the teenage girl was in Queens, though Facebook posts from Cramsey indicate the girl was believed to be in a hotel room in Brooklyn. Was one of these dudes Liam Neeson? Will he be played by Liam? Maybe Liam Neeson will play him in the movie.
Part 25?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. They will not stop making those movies. I just don't understand.
Me either.
I don't have a lot of money. What I do have are a special set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for the 25th dude for the 25th time.
After a while, he gonna be fighting for Krispy Kreme donuts,
right?
And grilled cheese sandwiches and shit.
You have taken my spot
fighting for Rogaine or something.
You taking my spot in the 10 items or less aisle, and you clearly have 11 items. Now I don't have a lot of money or a lot of time, but what I do have is a special set of skills. Look, man, just take the spot. No, let me finish. I gotta finish right. My thing. Let me finish the thing, then you can give
and
me the spot.
Why is this camera crew behind you, sir? Right.
I don't care that much, man. I'll just go to another line. No, you will listen until I finish my spiel.
No. That's how Liam Neeson gets out of every situation.
Oh yeah.
Skills.
He can have it. Cause he tell me down on report. I'm like, dog, you got the report, dog.
I bet when he put his lunch in the fridge at work, he's like talking to his lunch. He's like, now listen, when the other employees come in here, they're going to take you.
And they will eat you.
Right. I'm going to put you in the crisper. I want you to hide back there behind the fruit. But when they come, listen closely because you're going to be taken. No. He made his daughter get under the bed just to get taken. I don't even understand that part of the movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't she have just like, I don't know, waited by the door if she was going to be taken? It's like, here's my dad's on the phone. He would like to talk to you before you do this. Anyway.
That went way out of left field with this one.
Yeah. That dude who answered the phone, he was the best because all he goes is, good luck. And he finds him from that. Like, he found that dude because he said, good luck. Oh, what a great Impossible White Man movie. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
My God.
One of the best of all
time.
So
much logic.
Right. There is 0% chance he would have found that little girl. Zero. And he didn't even care when her friend died. He found her dead friend and was like, oh, well, shit happens. Anyway, no need to tell her parents.
Right. And at the end of the movie, they did not charge him with any international laws.
He broke so many international laws.
Yeah, he did. And nobody from Interpol, FBI, nobody was like, hey, dawg, you came over here killing folks. You got to be held accountable.
Right. He's just like, they had my daughter and I'm Brian Mills. Oh, Brian Mills, why didn't you say? I'm sorry. French international law does not apply to Brian Mills. I didn't realize. Wow. Well, there's that egg on my face. Right. Anyway, good luck with the killing.
Right. You got a shoot 'em free pass.
Yeah. License to kill.
Right. Literally license to kill.
All right. Sorry. We're way off topic. So these vigilantes, said okay, before getting busted with the cache of weapons, police said the trio of suspects certainly was not going for subtlety when they decided to head through the Holland tunnel. They had a big wheeled sport utility vehicle.
Oh shit.
That was hard to miss, trimmed with neon paint, plastered with decals for a higher ground tactical, a Pennsylvania gun range, and Cramsey is the owner of said gun range. Now, this won't reveal their race, but I'm going to put the picture of the vehicle in the chat room so you guys can see what they were rolling in. Maybe this will assist with your racism, okay? They were pulled over by a Port Authority police officers who noticed that they had guns in there. And they pulled over the vehicle at the entrance when they saw a crack low on their windshield. So that was it? So he didn't see the guns. He just saw a crack on the, oh, your windshield is cracked. Oops. You guys were coming to kill a bunch of people.
Holy shit.
Right? Now it's even more amazing that like Bruce Willis has never gotten stopped. Like this hasn't been the thing that stopped like Die Hard 7. You know, just a cop being like, sir, your tail light is broke. Oh, get out the car. My God, he's got AK-47s in there. I got to save my daughter, man. I'm sorry. And upon approaching the motor vehicle, the officer observed a plain view, a loaded pistol, and he had the driver exit the vehicle. When the driver got out, he noticed a 45 caliber handgun on the driver's seat. Inside the SUV were a pump action shotgun with pistol grip and collapsible stock.
Goddamn.
A SAR-98 Salamander Arms assault rifle. 7 clips of ammunition for the rifle. 4 9mm pistols. 145 caliber pistol with several magazines, a Kevlar bullet resistant helmet with camouflage cover, tactical goggles, night vision goggles, body armor, and a partridge in a pear tree.
I mean, come on.
Some of the guns were loaded. Sources say the suspects told police they were on their way through to the city to rescue a friend who had been held hostage by a drug dealer. Now I want to know whatever happened to the friend.
Right, because apparently they ain't worried about the friend no more.
Yeah, he said on Facebook, the young lady is scared to death and wants to go home to her folks, along with a graphic reading, enough is enough, in bold-faced red letters. You know what? I bet you somebody just snitched on them. They were posting this on Facebook. And then the police just lied and said, oh, yeah, we saw a crack in the windshield. But they probably were like, be on the lookout for this loud green
vehicle
SUV mm-hmm. with a gun company on the side, right? Ramsey's 20-year-old daughter Alexandria died from a heroin overdose 4 months ago Tuesday, and he has since attended town hall meetings around the Allentown area to voice his concerns over the drug epidemic. Heroin is really bad in this area in Pennsylvania. It was like a whole documentary on it on HBO. This is a plague, and we are losing our brightest, most brilliant minds, he told the newspaper shortly after his daughter was found dead of an overdose with another man inside of an Allentown home. Check on that man. He's probably been shot up at this point. Not by heroin, by guns. Friends of Ramsey told CBS2's ILO, he feels tremendous guilt and began Enough is Enough campaign. He also put decals on his truck reading, shoot your local heroin dealer. Oh, Jesus. Ever since his daughter died, I think it was one of those things he wishes he could have done something to save her. And now that she's gone, he feels this guilt in his heart, and he needs to help other people. Man, Christopher Nolan's going to direct this.
Yes.
While Ramsey likely would have known about the tough gun laws in New Jersey and New York as a licensed firearm dealer, they said his friend was not been, Nickisher says his friend has not been thinking straight since his daughter died.
You don't say.
Yeah, well, he was about to kill a whole bunch of other people's family, too. Apparently, they're still investigating, the claims about the daughter. About this girl who's being held against her will. Police apparently haven't found her yet, but they're looking into it. So there you go. And then, of course, the police wanted to make it 100% clear. This is not terrorism at all, guys. Okay. So just, they wanted to clear it up.
So you're not terrorizing?
White people heading through the tunnel with a whole bunch of guns, ready to go shoot up Brooklyn. Not terrorism, okay?
So you're not terrorizing the
usually the case.
Drug dealer community?
They're white. It's not terrorism.
White people cannot commit terrorism, Karen. I don't know if you got the memo. It is impossible, okay?
What else?
It's not.
The second you commit terrorism as a white person, you turn into some other type of person. That's what happens, okay? Yeah. So that's the rules.
That's the rules.
That's the rules. Jamie, guess the race of the vigilante crew. And they're all the same race, by the way.
Okay. I feel bad for always picking the same one, but I'm going to go with white on this one. I think because they're probably a disgruntled group of former Arrow employees and just decided to
they got run off
take
the
it
show.
A little too far.
The ghost, one of the ghosts that kind of escaped. They was like, fuck it.
This is before.
And we know Arrow doesn't really have a whole lot of black people on their staff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Curtis may have called in sick this day. We'll see. let's see. Crackers without cheese. We're all the white power ranger. man who was long time member of the NRA. Make America Great Again, Duck Dynasty White. Really? We the people? Okay, white. Pry those guns out of my cold, dead, white hands, Obama. G.I. Bros, white. Suicide Cheese Squad. Okay, the correct answer is, and everybody got it right. They were white. And the picture in the chat room is the selfie they took on the way to go kill these people. They look so happy. It's like they're taking a family road trip. Like, hey, kill some people. Look, guys, on our way to go kill up some people in Brooklyn.
Did they post it on Instagram?
Yeah, they posted it on Facebook.
Oh, God.
Right?
What is wrong with people?
They don't realize these are public platforms, and then they shit don't be private.
How are police even catching us before social media? That's what I want to know.
Exactly.
police can be fat and eat donuts now, dog. What's the point? They gonna tell you what they did.
You don't need detective skills anymore. Just a Twitter account. Just a Facebook account.
Not that I've ever committed a crime, but if I was, I wouldn't be like out here like YOLO, breaking the law real quick, doing 75 and a 35. Come holler at me.
Oh, they'll find your ass.
Picture of my speedometer, another picture of my face, you know.
Snapchatting it away while you're doing it.
Wouldn't want the police to have to do any work. all right. Last thing that we talk about every episode, we got to spread awareness about a very serious issue that is plaguing the entire world, and that is sword ratchetness. Go play my long sound effect. and now he's dead. Should have held that person's daughter with the heroin. This one is, it sounds adorable, okay? It sounds adorable, and I know as nerds, a lot of you guys are going to support this, but I'm against this propaganda, okay?
Okay.
Newlyweds climb a mountain and have a sword fight Highlander style for their dream wedding pictures. Absolutely not. Nope. What if she would have failed? What if this would have been an elaborate plot for one of them to kill the other one? I don't like this.
She's close to the edge of that cliff.
Plus, it goes against Highlander lore. There can only be one.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even really marry another Highlander because you got to kill him.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Duncan MacLeod would be ashamed of these people.
Ha-ha!
And I'm ashamed.
Why do they have to get up on a mountain and do this, though? That's what I want to know.
Well, guess the race white. I'm not going to say why. A couple went to new heights to create their dream wedding picture, climbing a famous peak to stage a sword fight. Keen climbers Mel Morrell, 31, and Stephen Hill, 37, first visited the Isle of Skye just before becoming an item 6 years ago. They vowed to climb the iconic Kiach, I don't know how to pronounce that, made famous by the Highlander movie, for their perfect photo, and finally made it last week. 2 years after getting married, Mel and Steve from Swansea packed their wedding outfits and climbed the summit. And once they reached the top, they took out a couple of theatrical swords and carried out a mock duel. If one of them would have fallen, oh my God. This is like actually the perfect plan for like in 10 years if he just wants to kill his wife or she wants to kill him. Like, it would make a real good episode of Snap, because it would be like, no, we went up there to celebrate our 10th year anniversary and he just slipped. I don't know
what happened.
Yeah, the camera didn't catch that part. I don't know. Steve, a tech company director, said the first time we went up Kiach, we went up a really complicated route and never actually managed to reach the summit, and ended up abseiling down in the dark. Every time we've come back since we got married, the weather has been terrible. We were worried it might not happen again last week. Thankfully, the clouds cleared in time and we got some great photos. By the way, someone else had to climb another peak to take the pictures. That's the real MVP, because my black ass would have been like, hey man, I'm gonna take pictures from down here. Y'all lean over a little bit. I can't see the swords from the ground.
Oh,
but yeah,
Sean ain't gonna be up there with you.
Another person climbed up there to help them out. So there you go, man. Sword propaganda 101. Okay, so then this marriage will have swords in it, and when we read about them later and some domestic violence stuff, remember where you heard it first, guys. Okay. Support Jamie and Black Girl Nerds. Okay, mm-hmm. Guys. Patreon.com/Black Girl Nerds. Support the content creators that you guys, that feed you, you know. Jamie and the whole crew over there, they speak for a lot of people and they speak with a lot of people. And a lot of people have found voices through Black Girl Nerds. Like, what you do is very important, and it's really important that you guys have that space. And, you know, there's issues that I learn about via Black Girl Nerds. There's things I learn about via Black Girl Nerds. I didn't even know one of my favorite comic books, Rat Queens, was so messed up.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. Like, I read about that on Black Girl Nerds. I was just like, oh, well, I guess I'm done.
Right.
You know?
Right. And Roger told me, I was like, well, shit, I was behind. I was like, well, guess I'm glad I never caught up. I'll be deleting you.
Right. And because it's nerddom, and because it's blackness, and because it's women, you know, there's always like constant controversy and stuff when people are really just trying to have a good time,
right?
But you know, I really do love and appreciate not just Jamie, but the whole space that you created, and so many people have been enriched from it. And I hope that people take the time out to give back. You know, patreon.com/blackgirlnerds, blackgirlnerds.com/t-shirts. Support people like this, because like I said, it's a toll. You know, she has a 9-to-5. You know, she woke up at 10 a.m. to take a couple hours out of her day to kick it with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that work never stops. There's always some new thing to post. There's always some new opinion to respond to. There's always some troll on Twitter. The people that don't like you will always take the time.
Always.
And mm-hmm. the people that love things will sometimes sit on the sidelines until something's gone, and then be like, well, what happened to, well, let's not let Jamie be a what happened to. Let's make sure we support Black Girl Nerds and follow them on Twitter at Black Girl Nerds and all that good stuff, because you know, it's really important that we got Jamie out here.
Thank you so much.
No problem, man. Keep doing your thing, man. You exist in that intersection of catching it from everybody, you know. I'm not necessarily envious. Like more followers, more problems, man. I just be like, oh,
tell me
just,
about it.
Like, oh no, not today, y'all. We're really proud of you over here, and really happy for you. And mm-hmm. We hope, you know, you get even more success and stuff, because you also put a lot of people on and stuff, and you know, it's really been cool to be able to maintain this relationship, especially at the hashtag gate, man. I felt like so many people just wanted to see like a fight, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And
people,
I think,
love drama,
right?
Yeah, they do,
you know. And I just was like, man, I have love for everybody. I'm really trying to keep it going, because it's enough stuff with blackness already ostracizing each other and stuff and whatnot. Like, I really want us to be able to come together. And congratulations on Comic-Con. I hope you guys have fun out there, because I remember last year when you were like, we need to be up in Comic-Con, and I was like, uh-oh, here we go. I was like, I don't know how this gonna go, but we about to see. So I'm glad you guys got in there, man, because you know, that's a space that I would love to see y'all in. So all right, we'll be back tomorrow talking about all kinds of stuff, and then Tuesday we'll be recapping the finale of Game of Thrones at 6:30 with Beauty Jackson from Good and Terrible. Mm-hmm. And Justin will be here too, guys, so it'll be super fun. So we'll see you guys then. Until then, go to getbevel.com, code TBGWT, and go to get our album Sunspot and Other Ratchetness on iTunes and Amazon. Till then, love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.